Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The complicated emotions surrounding an abortion are not something most people want to talk about, especially someone who's decided to have an abortion. Yet, writer Cassie Underwood went from talking about her abortion to just about anyone she met, to writing about it in the New York Times, to then writing a book about her experiences and her efforts to try to get women to share their abortion stories. Underwood's book is titled May Cause Love, An Unexpected Journey of Enlightenment After Abortion. In it, she writes, quote, "I remember brushing my teeth the night before my procedure, thinking about the embryo gaining momentum inside of me, wishing there was a woman I could talk to. I didn't find her, so I had to become her." Now, Cassie Underwood is that woman, writing about her experiences and giving lectures on the spirituality of abortion. She's a student at Harvard's Divinity School, and she lives in Cambridge. Cassie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, as you write in your book, your abortion was in 2004. You were 19 years old, college student in Vermont, and, you know, you decided neither you nor the man you were involved with were ready to be parents. Describe the decision-making there and why that was so instrumental in your life.
Well, in some ways, it was a gut feeling as soon as the doctor told me that I was pregnant in the University Health Clinic at UVM. And in other ways, I had to gather all the information that would make that a more sure decision for me. I was raised in Kentucky, so I didn't hear anything about abortion growing up except on billboards, anti-abortion billboards, and from students at school who had anti-abortion messages they were bringing in from church. And so I grew up with a judgment about abortion. I thought that it was wrong for me.
Right. But you did it anyway. And then how did you feel?
Afterward?
Right.
Immediately afterward, I actually felt I felt a lot of different emotions. I felt like I wanted to talk about the fact that I'd been pregnant. I felt that like I wanted to meet more people who'd experienced this, and I felt I didn't feel I just felt the sadness had a lot to do with not being able to talk to anybody, and that this had happened without knowing anyone in advance that could help me.
Right, but you went on this journey, this unbelievable journey, to try to reconcile your emotions. Describe why you felt like you needed to do that.
When I was about 3 years after my abortion, I heard from my ex-boyfriend that he was having a baby with someone else, and they had decided to name the baby the same name as I had tossed out to him for the few minutes that I considered keeping the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that was really shocking to me, and it was a violation of my identity as this extremely pro-choice. I was super pro-choice, and now I had all these feelings, and that didn't fit into the political narrative about relief.
Right. So that was what did it. That was really what kind of struck it, was finding out that he was having another baby. He was able to move on, not only move on, but maybe name this baby the same thing that you were going to name it. And then that triggered something in you.
That and the fact that he was not able to raise the child. He and the mother were not able to raise the child. And so that brought up emotions that there was this child out there, and that I was having these emotions about not having a baby. Mm-hmm. So that was painful. And feeling like I couldn't talk to anybody about it authentically, what I was feeling.
Right. Now, describe that a little bit, because I think that is a big part of what you write about. You say that the abortion issue has become so politicized, right, that it's difficult to find comfort or acceptance. You feel that maybe admitting, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, admitting that you're having difficulty after an abortion is almost taking a side, right? So what do you, you know, how did you deal with that, and how did you find comfort?
Well, I really didn't know who to tell who would not think that I was saying that I was shaming people for having an abortion if I were to say that I was sad afterward. That can be taken as shaming, or that other people are supposed to feel that way, which of course isn't true. People feel all sorts of different ways. And so I had to go through a lot of pain to get to the point that I was willing to face this. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was living in New York City, and I just decided I needed a big a big journey. I needed to try everything that was available to me to heal and to find new language to talk about this.
When you talk about the pain that you went through, I know in your book you write about alcohol problems. You were arrested, right? You had. Did you ever say that those problems were because of this unresolved emotions that I have over here, or no?
Well, I had alcohol. I mean, I'm sober, and I had symptoms of alcoholism and drinking problems way before I got pregnant. I would say that having the abortion accelerated a pre-existing issue, because, you know, I had nowhere to talk about this. I had no context for what I was going through. But I would never say that abortion was why I got arrested.
No. Not why you got arrested, but maybe you were not dealing with your emotions and you didn't have a venue to deal with your emotions, so it exacerbated your problems. Is that right? And so that was the pain that you're talking about that led you on a journey to try to deal with those emotions so, you know, it wouldn't cause further problems in your life.
Exactly.
Right?
And because I believe that there was something I had to learn from this. I mean, I believe that there was a possibility for self-discovery and transcendence and, you know, just a spiritual experience through this.
Now, you talk about this experience of exploring all different kinds of rituals, Buddhist rituals, Japanese rituals, going to Catholic retreats and different things like that to try to understand your decision better and your emotions better around this. Describe some of those for our listeners.
Well, the Buddhist ritual is called Mizuko Kuyo, and it came from Japan. And in Japan, there's not a big debate about abortion. The ritual started hundreds of years ago. Women started it. And for me, being able to acknowledge my abortion in the setting in a Buddhist church without there being an implication that I had made the wrong decision was really important to me. And at the end of the ritual, the Buddhist priest said that the Mizuko would be my guide on the path to enlightenment. And I thought that was a meaningful thought as I continued.
Hmm. And what else? What else would you advise people as they are looking for some sort of spiritual comfort after going through this, based on the fact that you went through several of them? What do you say to people? Should they, you know, do you make any recommendations or give them any advice?
I think that everyone should follow what feels true to them. I had to map out everything that I could possibly find because I didn't want to just try one thing and then find out that it didn't work and not have anything else lined up. I wanted to feel better. And so I would say that everyone should just follow what feels true. If they are gravitating toward Buddhism or Judaism or Catholicism or something secular, therapy, start with what works for them.
Which ritual would you say was most surprising?
The most surprising one, I think that was actually the Catholic retreat.
Really? Why?
This is going to sound silly or naive, but they're not all of them are like this. They're all independent. These retreats, I went to Rachel's Vineyard. But the one I went to, it felt judgmental, and I didn't think that I was going to find that there. I actually thought that it was going to be, there would be no judgment there. So I was surprised that there would be judgments of abortion and a retreat about healing after abortion.
And why did you feel that? Is there a specific thing that happened that you recall?
There was just some language around the evils of abortion. And there was a lot of language around evil and abortion.
So what do you think it was that helped you to finally come to terms with it? Was it time in a lot of ways? Was it this, you know, was it a combination of all of this searching, or what was it?
Yeah, I don't think it was time. I think it was real. Each ritual I did built on the last, and they each gave me a tool that I could take away. And at the bottom of everything, it seemed to be the need to grieve, which I would have been very defensive about if someone had told me that in the beginning of the journey. But the practice of grief, sitting down every day and grieving, these are tools that I've taken into my life since I completed the journey that I write about in the book. But the grieving really helped me, and finding a community has really helped me, of people who've experienced abortion.
And so what about your views on abortion now? Where do you stand? The same?
People have been having abortions for thousands of years. They're on record since 2700 BCE. They happen whether abortion is legal or illegal. And so to me, women have died when it wasn't legal. So I think that people should be able to live and should be able to be trusted to know their own situations and their own lives.
And then what about the folks who say it shouldn't be allowed at all?
What about them?
What would you say to them?
I would say that it would be helpful to maybe to listen to someone who has experienced abortion, and if they too, because some people have experienced abortion and they don't think it should be legal, and that I hope that they will find community with other people who've experienced abortion regardless of their political beliefs.
Now, this happened to you 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you think things have changed?
Politically? Not at all. No. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's really the same debate going on. It's just at this point, I think that the abortion war, there will be no winner. There are no winners in the abortion war. And it's really time to change the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are no signs of that happening anytime soon. Right. I mean, do you think that your work might help do that eventually, or having people talk about it? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
I hope that people who have experienced abortion will come together. Because right now there is a separation of people who've experienced abortion into pro-life and pro-choice camps. Mm-hmm. And then there's a ton of people who have no place because their stories don't fit into those narratives. And what I hope is that we'll all come together, those who have experienced abortion, and really start to support each other and heal together. Not necessarily even from abortion. Not all people need to heal from abortion or after abortion, but to heal the cultural pain that we've all been feeling around this.
You're now at Harvard's Divinity School. Mm-hmm. What led you to Divinity School?
It was really my journey and that I write about in the book. My life changed from doing all the rituals that I write about and all that exploration. And by the time I reached the end, I knew that I wanted to serve people who've experienced abortion in a bigger way, and also that I only had my personal experience as a white cisgender female from Kentucky, raised Episcopalian. That was my background, and I wanted to understand the cultural and historical context for other people's lives and listen to more people and understand different viewpoints.
And what's the reaction that you get for the most part when you talk about it now? Now that you've been able to maybe have a little bit of distance yourself and process a little bit, when you talk with women now, is it any different, or what would you say is the overall reaction that you get from folks when you're talking about abortions?
It's a real range, but the more authentically I speak about it, the more people open up to me about their lives, and the more they're going to open up to me about having experienced abortion, and the more truth we can all come to, and the more reality we can all come to. Mm. So it's been really a beautiful, positive experience for me.
Yeah, you wrote about it in the New York Times,
yes,
in the Modern Love column, and you've been very public about something that some people never mm-hmm. talk about. So is this the big thing that you want to change?
Abortion?
No, the discussion around it.
The discussion around it. Yeah, I think that what I really want is for people to feel like they can share authentically.
All right. Well, Carrie Underwood is a Cambridge-based writer. She's written about abortion for the New York Times Modern Love column, and her new memoir is titled May Cause Love, An Unexpected Journey of Enlightenment After Abortion. There's more information about the book at our website, radioboston.org. Cassie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.